Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:21, that's Pacific Summer Time, and today is September 21st. Well, this was a news-laden day, so let's start off in Asia with Japan. And I think the most important point is that the yen is back testing the 100 level. You look at that chart, and I've posted in comment of the day today, what is evident is a progression of lower rally highs since early this year. And then what happened earlier this year was that the Bank of Japan instituted a negative interest rate policy. And they obviously didn't ask anybody what anyone else thought of it. It was an institutional decision and probably based on the assumption that if low rates are good, negative rates must be better. But no, that is not the case. Negative rates are sharply deflationary. What that has done is it's put upward pressure on the yen. And it has increased deflationary pressures rather than achieved what the central bank's goal is, which is to increase inflationary pressures. Now, today, the Nikkei was stronger by almost 2%. The topics banks index, which has really been moribund for much of the last few months, has retraced its overextension relative to the trend mean, but it really is open to question what happens next in Japan, because if the yen is going to strengthen beyond 100, then that is going to force the hand of the Bank of Japan. They would have to increase their purchases. If they increase their purchases, that will send bond yields lower. But what they said today was that they want to target the yield curve. They want to maintain long bond yields around current levels. And the JGB yield was lower in here today. And what it looks like is the market is going to test the resolve of the Bank of Japan. And this wouldn't be the first time. In fact, before Abenomics came into effect, this was a pretty predictable pattern that the Bank of Japan would make a statement and the market would test its resolve. And it wasn't until they really pulled the trigger on Abenomics that the market was chastened. And I suspect that that is where we're going now. It has been an adage for an awfully long time at this service that the happiness in the currency markets is having both the trend and the central bank on your side. So the yen is a rather interesting prospect because the trend is not on the central bank's side. And they would appear to have taken their eye off the yen and are looking at other factors. But if those other factors are not achieving what they wanted, then they may perhaps have to start looking at the yen once more. And we know what would be required to break the yen's uptrend, and it would be a break in that progression of the dollar's lower rally highs against it. So I think it's getting to be an increasingly interesting prospect to keep an eye on Japan. And of course, elsewhere in Asia today, the Chinese market was relatively quiet, and Europe was relatively quiet, mostly in positive territory, as they waited for what would happen with the Fed. And the Fed has held pat; they have not raised interest rates. But it was a divided board, and it was a 7-3 vote in favor of not doing anything. That increases the possibility that they may raise rates in December. But that will be data-driven. That will be highly dependent on exactly what happens between now and then. And in between, of course, we have a major election. So there is ample potential for upsets along the way. But in the meantime, what we are presented with is the Wall Street rallying by about 1%. And having been in negative territory before the decision, the S&P 500 closed up 1%, 1.09%. The Nasdaq was moving to a new high. And then what does that tell us? It tells us that what is the rationale that people have been using to pay all-time new highs for stocks? It's that liquidity is ample, that central banks are not going to be raising rates in an aggressive fashion if they raise them at all. And against that background, with such low rates, then the incentive is to increase debt and to buy back shares to lower the average cost of capital. And there isn't much of another game in town. The S&P 500 yields over 2%. The long bond yields quite a bit below that. That represents a powerful reason to be in, interested in stocks, and not least those that have been have got long histories of paying those dividends and increasing those dividends. And it is interesting too that with the rise in yields, we've seen that a number of companies that are the shares of companies that pay these reliable dividends have been ranging for the last few months, and that is part of that part of the reason for that is because some of the bond proxies have fallen out of favor. Well, if the Fed isn't going to raise rates for another few months, then those bond proxies might come back into favor. And this move is being led higher by technology, with the Nasdaq, and of course it's the Nasdaq's largest constituents are really helping to push this market higher. I think a number of people will be looking at bargains, and that's perhaps one of the reasons that the Nasdaq Biotech Index is returning to a position of outperformance. So there is certainly interesting stuff going on there. But I think what has really made the headlines in here today is precious metals. And gold was up 18, platinum up 24, silver up 60 cents. And what this is doing is it's, for gold, it's confirming support in the region of the lower side of its range. And that 1300 level is the upper side of the underlying range. The last range had an amplitude of about $100. This range has an amplitude of about $80. The internal dynamics of the range are that the upper dynamics are more frequent. They're taking longer to unwind when prices pull back. So gold continues to look like a benign environment overall, potentially a medium-term uptrend, and it continues to look like an orderly uptrend. And provided it holds that $1,300 area, we could conclude that it is a staircase step sequence uptrend, which is about the most orderly, consistent advance that one might hope for. Silver has been quite a bit more volatile, but it has now found support in the region of the 200-day moving average. It has posted a higher reaction low, and today's upward dynamic takes it up to the $20 area. If it can sustain a move above that level, it would break the progression of lower rally highs within that range and help to confirm not just short-term support, but a return to medium-term demand dominance. Platinum, having spent just a little bit of time last week below the 200-day EMA, has bounced. And it still has a ways to go to break the progression of lower rally highs, but this is certainly more bullish action overall. And interestingly, with the spread between gold and platinum was around $300. It's now down to $280. So there is the potential for platinum to play some catch up. And of course, this has also been good news for the gold miners, where they had really been able to continue to advance despite the fact that gold prices ranged for much of February through July, but they did experience their biggest pullback to date over the last 6 or 7 weeks, and have bounced now from the region of the 200-day moving average. And that's really exactly where they needed to bounce. They have bounced, and this would at least help to support the argument that we're back in a support building phase, and potentially a rebound phase for the gold miners. And of course, if gold prices can continue to rally from here, then for the first time in a decade, really, we can say that gold mines are offering upside leverage to the gold price. And the reason for that, of course, is that they are no longer investing every available cent in developing new mines. They are much more cash flow oriented now, and that is giving them this position, really a favorable position in the eyes of investors, that they are offering leverage to the gold price. Oil prices were also a bit firmer today, and that was news that that US inventories are a little bit less than anticipated. But realistically, this is the lower side of a developing range, and what it continues to look like is that that range is somewhere from the lower 40s to the low 50s, and we could potentially now get a rebound back up towards the upper side of that developing range. The oil index, or the spider energy ETF, had been ranging just above the 200-day moving average. It really did need to sustain a rally away from that MA, and today it got it. So it has rallied right from where it needed to. And I think that that is a pretty similar story for most of those ETFs, that the sectors had all been trading in the region of their respective trend means, and they have all bounced. So this is a benign environment overall. There was, I think, a lot of people were waiting to see what the Fed was going to do. Now they have at least some idea of what it's likely to be, and that sets them up for a more benign environment, at least for the next couple of months. And seasonally, we're heading into a more a better investment environment seasonally. So then the chances are that what we have seen is a near-term low. And that represents touchstones in terms of the upside, so that we could say that as long as those lows hold, then we could give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. And what we are definitely seeing is that technology is leading, but technology is not cheap. And the valuations that are tolerable are in large part due to the fact that we have such low interest rates and have had them for such a long time, and that does allow valuations to expand. It makes the job of raising rates that bit more difficult, and it also means that the Fed simply cannot afford to be aggressive. They have to be very measured indeed, because they risk unwinding a lot of the positive attributes that they have been able to develop in the economy. When we take a little bit of a step back and look at those bond prices, then they had fallen enough that they had unwound their overbought conditions, and now it's looking likely that we're going to get at least some consolidation, having the yields had completely unwound their overextensions relative to the trend mean. So there is potential now for those yields to contract a bit from where they had been. So generally, it's a benign environment, and certainly precious metals are responding to that. Perhaps the bigger question for Japan is what happens if their new focus on the yield curve does not achieve their goals. Will Japan flout what the market is doing and go for helicopter money? It would look like today that what they were trying to do was to save face and to slowly but surely back away from negative interest rates. And they're just not there yet. But Japan continues to be the country that represents the greatest risk of helicopter money, and therefore the yen really is worth watching at these levels. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.